Hi everyone, Camille here. It's 4 p.m. in New York, 7 in Paris, and 8 in Istanbul. You're listening to Cosmic. I hope you're all doing well, wherever you may be. We all need some good vibes right now, and a good number of productive conversations as well. Thank you for tuning in. We're here to explore how the arts and the impact sector can best work together, studying the dynamics of paradigm shift and change within people and within society. Today I'm remixing an interview I produced last year because there's a lot in there that is particularly relevant to this new season of the show. As you know, I'm currently going nerdy about the power of the artists, the power of the arts, and why the artistic practice seems to hold many of the answers we're looking for as humans, both at the individual level and at the collective level. And I'm taking you with me. Thanks for being here. We're here to explore, research, investigate, think, feel, and reveal secret recipes that can unlock human potential without the need for any of the AI chip in your brain or arm or whatever. Here is the thread I want to follow today: experiencing life deeply and what that does to the body and mind, to decision making at the individual and at the collective level as well. Basically about being emotionally involved in your life using the artistic experience. I'm taking you to the field of performance arts, cello playing to be exact. My guest is Christine J. Lee. She's a Korean-born, Philadelphia-made cellist and activist. I met her in Brussels last year, and we had a memorable conversation that I'm going to revisit through this mix. In three chapters. One, technique, commitment, and discipline. Two, being emotionally involved. And three, the power of the unspoken. Then I'll expand our exploration with questions and closing notes. Enjoy the show. Chapter 1, Technique, Commitment, and Discipline. Let's start by listening to Christine playing to get a sense for her universe. Thank you.
I remember when I was a little girl that there were certain pieces of music that I came across, and I remember thinking to myself, if I can play this music one day, then I'll be really, really happy.
Yeah.
And I think there was, that's when I knew there was some kind of motivation and love for classical music, because my parents, I mean, it's not every day like this, but when I was little, sometimes my parents asked me to practice, and they try to make a deal with me. It's like, oh, if you practice, we can go eat a hamburger or something like this.
Great deal.
But I remember with certain pieces, they didn't have to ask me. I would just get up in the morning before going to school, and I would want to practice so I could play it.
Right?
I think all musicians are obsessed to a certain degree. We have to be.
Yeah.
Because we know perfection is impossible, but we always kind of strive for that. Musicians are, to a certain degree, a bit masochistic, and it's almost like a drug, because before you go on stage, or when you have to, when you're under pressure, then you ask yourself, why am I putting this, putting myself through this again? And when you're on stage and you get to share your love and passion with people, then that, you forget about it completely. And it's that experience of making music and sharing music is so meaningful that it, all the hours, all the work, it just, you forget about the suffering, I think, that comes with it. And then we live for the next time. When do I get to do it again? It's like a fix of something.
We just listened to Harold Lopez here from La Habana, and he told me something about emotions today on Instagram. I'll let you go and take a look. Let's go to Brazil in the meantime.
The most important thing for musical education is to give love and to instill some kind of admiration and love for music. I don't think it should be that you have to do this, but if you have an appreciation and love, then I think you figure out your own way. We've also lost a lot because we don't have the space or the attention span or the time to experience things deeply. So, I mean, I think we think that we are experiencing many things and get exposed to so many different experiences, but they don't actually leave a mark in you and they don't shape you as a person. Because things that really matter, I think, take time.
Right.
And I think it's a dangerous phenomenon for young people, for our generation, actually, because there's just too much going on. And you don't ask yourself what it means or why. And you don't take the time to actually appreciate it and to let it sink in. Mm.
this commitment, this discipline, this practice is the gateway to a whole new world, a world of endless possibilities. I know how to play the introduction of Stairway to Heaven at the guitar, and I enjoy it, and it's good, it's a good start, but I cannot say that it opened a world of endless possibilities for me. And this is one good reason why many artists spend hours and hours practicing their craft. Chapter 2, Emotions.
Most important thing is emotional generosity as a musician and a performer. Of course, we're human beings, so we cannot be 100% emotionally invested. That's the ideal. But I think it's also in some ways we are like actors. We have to be able to adapt. You become the character when you're an actor. So you try to understand the emotional essence of whatever you're playing, or maybe and understand the context of which maybe what the composer had intended to capture in his composition. But the thing is, we are also craftsmen. So we cannot be touched so much by our own music making process that we break down and start crying or something. So we always have to have that objectivity, but also that emotional investment. I think that's honest and sincere.
D'abord, y'a l'aîné, lui qui est comme un melon, lui qui a un gros nez, lui qui sait plus son nom, monsieur, tellement qu'il boit, ou tellement qu'il a bu, qui fait rien de ses dix doigts, mais lui qui n'en peut plus, lui qui est complètement cuit et qui se prend pour le roi, qui se saoule toutes les nuits avec du mauvais vin, mais qu'on retrouve matin dans l'église qui roupit, raide comme une saillie, blanc comme un cierge de Pâques, et puis qui balbutie, et qui a l'œil qui divague. Faut vous dire, monsieur, que chez ces gens-là, on ne pense pas, monsieur, on ne pense pas. On prie, et puis il y a l'autre, des carottes dans les cheveux, qui a jamais vu un peigne, qui est méchant comme une teigne, même qui donnerait sa chemise à des pauvres gens heureux, qui a marié la Denise, une fille de la ville, enfin.
I often find nowadays that we sort of try to create this kind of emotion and put it sort of like lay it out for the audience. But I think my job or my ideal concert, I just present it, and I think I would like to give the freedom to the audience to experience it for themselves instead of like shoving it down their throat. Like, this is the way you're supposed to feel. I don't want to tell anyone how they're supposed to feel.
Right.
Et puis, il y a les autres. La mère qui ne dit rien ou bien n'importe quoi. Et du soir au matin, sous sa belle gueule d'apôtre et dans son cadre en bois, il y a la moustache du père qui est mort d'une glissade et qui regarde son troupeau bouffer la soupe froide. Et ça fait des grands... Et ça fait des grands... Et puis il y a la toute vieille qui en finit pas de vibrer et qu'on attend qu'elle crève vu que c'est elle qui a l'oseille et qu'on n'écoute même pas ce que ces pauvres mains racontent. Faut vous dire, monsieur, que chez ces gens-là, on ne cause pas, monsieur. On ne cause pas. On compte. Et puis, il y a Frida, qui est belle comme un soleil, et qui m'aime pareil que moi j'aime Frida. Même qu'on se dit souvent qu'on aurait une maison avec des tas de fenêtres, avec presque pas de mur, et qu'on vivra dedans, et qu'il fera bon y être, et que si c'est pas sûr, c'est quand même peut-être, parce que les autres veulent pas, parce que les autres veulent pas. Les autres, ils disent comme ça qu'elle est trop belle pour moi, que je suis tout juste bon à égorger les chats. J'ai jamais vu de chat, ou alors il y a longtemps, ou bien j'ai oublié. Ils sentaient pas bon, enfin ils veulent pas, enfin ils veulent pas. Parfois, quand on se voit, semblant que c'est pas exprès, avec ses yeux mouillants, elle dit qu'elle partira, elle dit qu'elle me suivra. Alors pour un instant seulement, alors moi je la crois, monsieur, pour un instant seulement, parce que chez ces gens-là, monsieur, on ne s'en va pas. On s'en va pas, monsieur. On s'en va pas. Mais il est tard, monsieur. Il faut que je rentre chez moi.
In our lives, we're dealing with many, many mundane, ordinary things. That's also part of life. But my hope is that with my music that I can create extraordinary moments. And it can be, you know, 10 seconds, 1 minute. But I think that gives more meaning to this mundane, ordinary seconds and minutes and hours.
Thank you.
emotions are the reason why we are interested in art. Most art decisions are made emotionally, from the personal decision to go out and eat sushi to a government's political decision of investing $100 billion in infrastructure projects. Decision makers think it's based on some scientific report or analysts' advice, but the reason why they choose to trust this input is emotional. The reason why they are here in the first place is emotional. And emotions are like the artist's playground. See why art matters beyond its current place in society? Chapter 3, The Power of the Unspoken.
As an artist, there is so many ways to create an impact on the world and in so many positive ways. And as you mentioned, there are so many people try to label things these days, and there are always these categories and name for everything. But so much of the world is the unspoken, is in the unspoken, and things that cannot be explained. And I think music is just that. It's always dealing with the things that cannot be really spoken and cannot be explained. Forget actually that music is so relevant. It's our response and answer to what's going on in society. It's our, you know, reflection. And I think it goes back to old days of Beethoven and Bach. You know, Beethoven wrote some like Eroica symphony in response to, you know, the way it was his response to Napoleon. And there's pieces written by a composer named Penderecki, and that he wrote a piece right after the bombing of Hiroshima. And so I think we often forget, we get hung up in this like, oh, art and music, and we forget that there is so much connection and relevance. have a friend who really inspired me in getting involved in the society, because he and I went to school together in Philadelphia, and he founded an orchestra, a program to provide young people, teenagers in North Philly, which is a very, there's a high crime rate, guns and drugs. And since he started this movement, it's changed so much. He's gotten kids off the streets. He's given them, you know, joy and something else to focus on. I think some kids get on this path because they don't know any better. And to give these children an outlet and to create a safe environment for everyone, I realized, wow, music has the power to do this, actually. And I think that was the turning point for me, really. I want to do something like that. Although we say, oh yes, it's part of the world and part of society, but they kind of leave it out. And I think if, instead of thinking of it as something that's difficult to approach, but as more, rather as a just part of everything, and
yeah,
part of life.
Structural.
Exactly. And maybe, as you suggested, it should be more built in.
Human being on the planet has the potential to appreciate any art form or any style of music?
Yes, yes, 200%. I think it's a matter of being exposed at the right time, in the right moment. Being exposed at the right time, in the right moment, being exposed at the right time, in the right moment, being exposed at the right time, in the right moment, being exposed at the right moment.
So as we humans all feel emotions, most of us at least, we can all possibly appreciate any art form, any style of music, any art piece that is grounded in an emotional state. Is that so? Well, yes. But this is possible if we are initiated to it, if we are exposed to it, if we know the context, if we know the story. Stories and narratives are an integral part of the equation here. When we feel, when we experience new things with an open mind, when we are connected, we are healthier. I don't need to demonstrate this, do I? Thank you to Christine for this inspiring conversation that I enjoyed revisiting to feed this new season of the show. I will share the links to Christine's profile in the episode notes. The power of the unspoken, this is a term I've been masticating for over a year now. I have to say, I am enjoying every minute of it. What does the unspoken look like in your life? At work? At home? Is it pleasant unspoken or unpleasant unspoken? In any case, consuming art, practicing art, promoting art, and connecting to the realities we want to see out there in the world is a promising path to follow. We'll be right back. And we're just scratching the surface here. Thank you to my brother Etienne Previtali, yippee-yo, yippee-yay, for the support with music and sounds. Send me your thoughts, questions, ideas at hello@cosmic.show on Twitter, on Instagram. All links are in the notes. Thanks for following and stay well. You're solid.